Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello everyone everywhere, this is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. Today is part two of my two-part interview with Jay Ritchie. He works with the Open Air Campaigners Mission, and folks, he's written a book called Evangelism Flipside, A Journey of Reaping the Unexpected, and his story of how he got from where he was to where he's at today is absolutely astounding. If you missed yesterday's episode, you need to go back and catch up and listen to that one. I'm going to rewind it just a little bit, just for the sake of clarity in today's episode, but we're starting to get into the good stuff today. You do not want to miss this, and I recommend that you get in touch with Jay with his contact information at the end, because his organization does awesome work. Now, I'm going to start off by asking Jay how he got started in his calling into ministry. How did you get your calling into the ministry, especially into evangelism?
So I'm going to be getting into that. So as I would, you know, stay out of church or go to church, but not faithfully be really, have my heart and mind in it. There was one, Friday night in 2003, I had broken up with my girlfriend at the time and was a bad relationship anyways, but I wasn't thinking spiritually, so I was thinking, you know, fleshly, and that's why I got into the relationship with her in the beginning. But we broke up, wasn't working out, and I was at a party, and I was drinking and just, you know, trying to drown out the sorrow and the pain that I was dealing with. Instead of taking the pain to the Lord, I was trying to deal with it myself, and, you know, that was disastrous. But so that night after I was vomiting a little bit because drinking too much, I fought the people that were there at the house, not physically, but like I was going to leave and go home. And I said, no, you just sleep it off. Don't. And I just said, no, I want to go home. I'm not staying here. And they knew I was in no condition to drive. So I get my way. I get in the car and I drive and I run a red light on my way home. I run a red light and I, you know, would have gotten into a very vicious car accident with a truck because there was a truck that I just narrowly missed. And I, you know, when I got home, I didn't really care if I had gotten into the accident or not because I was just fed up with life. I was semi-suicidal. I was hurting inside. And I tried to sleep. I got home to my mother's house. I crept up the stairs. I didn't want to, you know, wake her up and deal with her. And, I was trying to just get into bed and sleep it off, and God took me by the collar, so to speak, and he said, no, I'm going to deal with you right now, and you're going to listen. And that night, I just could not get to bed. I was crying. I was on my knees, just bawling, just pouring out everything that I've done to God, and I took him for granted. Because it was almost as if he had shown up in my room and spoke to me, and I'm not talking about I saw a vision or whatever. I'm just talking about his presence there was unmistakable. It was unmistakable. He spoke to me, Hebrews 13:5, which I didn't know was in the Bible at that point because I wasn't taking the Bible seriously, so I really wasn't studying it the way that I should. And so that verse says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And I felt forsaken. I felt let down by him. But he reminded me through that verse that I have never let you down and I will never. And it was kind of in that moment of crying out and hearing that voice in my heart, he was kind of like pulling back the curtain and showing me flashbacks of those 10 years of how he stepped in and rescued me, stepped in and was there for me. And I was like, I just didn't see it. I was just kind of like blind to it because of my bitterness and my pain of losing my parents the way I did. And he's like, no, I've been there every step of the way. I've not left you and not forsake you. But he was telling me, Jay, I love you, but I want to tell you right now, no more games, because I will let you go into the deep end, and you may not recover. And but I says, you know, and you tried to run for me, and you thought the grass was greener on the other side, and it's not. And now what's your choice? And I said, you're right, Father. You've been a father to me, and I've not recognized your love and your compassion and your mercy. And I give up. I'm sorry for running. I just want to repent of my rebellion. And I said, whatever you want to do with my life, here it is, because it's not worth living without you know, in obedience to you. So, and then he gave me the best night's sleep that I think I've ever had. And I woke up in the morning, and just I didn't even have a hangover. And it was amazing. And also, at that point, up to that point in rebellion, I was dealing with Crohn's disease.
And he
took that away. He completely healed me of it. And doctors confirmed that. I don't have it anymore. But I had it as a child, you know, in battle. I was taking medicine for it and battling it since my teenage years. But he had cured me of that, and that was another way that he got my attention and showed me that he was for me, not against me. And so I just said, you know, that's it. His goodness broke my heart. And I'm like, you know, here's my life. Like, whatever you want me to do. And then a year later, in 2004, he called me to be a preacher. And I didn't know at that point what that was going to look like. Was that going to be a foreign missionary to China, to Haiti? Was that going to be a pastor of a church somewhere? So I didn't know. And so I just, you know, got my theological education. I got my bachelor's degree in theological studies. I was filling in for my pastor when he was out or sick. And I would also teach the adult Sunday school class. I'd fill in for other churches of like faith when they needed a preacher. And probably like 11 years after the fact I was called to be a preacher, I found a ministry called Open Ear Campaigners. Have you heard of them?
Online. That was my next question. How'd you get hooked up with them?
Yeah, so they are pretty, you know, famous in being like a street evangelist and open-air preachers, where they would use like a sketchboard or a paint board, and they would use object lessons or magic tricks, for lack of a better word, to illustrate the gospel and not just tell the gospel, but illustrate it in using an object lesson.
That's kind of like what got you interested in all this. The same thing.
Yeah, because before that night of repentance in 2003, after narrowly getting into a what would have been a bad accident that I would have caused, I was in the University of Massachusetts studying to be an actor in California, because I was taking the wheel of my own life and kind of like, you know, trying to pursue my own dreams rather than God's dreams and God's visions for my life. And I was set to, because I was taking theater and performing arts and psychology at that college, and I was ready to go to California and to be a TV actor, commercial actor. And, you know, God changed my heart, and he kind of had different plans for me. But I was attracted to the fact that this ministry uses like theatrics, you know, for lack of a better word. They use theatrics to illustrate the gospel, and so that people, because, you know, I don't know if you know much about like how people learn these days, but most statistics that I've seen suggest that people remember more of what they see than what they hear, and if you can witness to them in a way that you get them to interact with you,
that's
powerful.
Yeah.
And so that's what this ministry does. And so in 2015, I had friends that heard about them, but I've never actually seen them around. And apparently they've been in the Boston area, New England area, for over 30 years, but I just never ran into them. And Then one day I ran into someone who was in the subway system in Boston. He was playing a guitar and he was preaching, and he had a bag of tracks that he was handing out. And so that was my first run-in with the ministry. And then I found one of the pamphlets on the subway as well on another time. And I was like, oh, this is interesting. I keep hearing about these people, but I've never actually really talked to anybody them. And then God just put it in my heart to find them on the internet. Like, I want to reach out to these people. Where can I actually find out where they're going to be next so I can go and observe and see what they're doing firsthand? And I got hooked up with the Boston area director of the ministry branch here, Eric Briscoe, and he, you know, invited me out to come observe. And then as soon as I saw it, I knew this is what I want to get into. And so they had a process where they would, you know, teach you how to present the gospel using their tools and methods, and that would be like a 1 week training that they would have in the summer. So I took that, and then they had a candidate school where they would, you know, have people who were really seriously pursuing this and believe God was in this for them to go there and to kind of learn the backside of the ministry and to see if this is the mission that God wants you to do. And amen. They were convinced before I was that this is what God wanted me to do. But I was, so they invited me to come aboard. They said, you know, we believe God has gifted you and we want to work with you. And I was kind of hesitant. And I was just like, Lord, I want you to be in this. I don't want to, because I had a history of jumping before the God and trying to do my own thing. And I was like, now this is different. I want to follow you. I don't want to run ahead of you.
Yeah, amen. So what is
and
it?
So I waited. Yes. So after waiting about a couple months, I got the confirmation, and I said, "Yes, I want to work with you." And I've been an evangelist with them in the Boston area for like almost 2 years now. And what I do is we go to subway stations, we go to parks, we'll preach the gospel inside churches, outside churches, wherever there's foot traffic, we like to go. And we have, like, you know, special outreach activities with churches during the summer as well when the kids are out of school. And basically we just present the gospel in like through a painting or story. Mm-hmm. And then or a riddle even. Sometimes we take, you know, gospel riddles out into the street, and we, you know, because it piques interest. Because Jesus mm-hmm. told his disciples and us today to be fishers of men. Well, when you go fishing, You don't just go fishing, throwing a hook out, no bait.
That's right.
You have to have bait.
That's right.
So the bait are the tools that we use, the paint board, the object lesson, or could be a short skit too. Some evangelists do that. And we just draw the crowd in. And then once we explain the gospel in visual format and using our tools, then we get into one-on-one conversations with people, because that's what I believe evangelism is. It's not, evangelism is not just a presentation. Mm-hmm. Here's 3 points in a poem and go to it.
Yeah.
Evangelism is a conversation. It's that's a conversation right. Where it's a give and take. And we see that throughout the scripture if we look carefully enough for that.
That's right, amen. So, what's the hardest thing about what you do?
Staying humble, because the more we do it, the more people we get used to talking to. I mean, we're going to hear all the types of objections. You know, we're going to be able to talk to all types of people: atheists, agnostics. Mm-hmm. You know, unsaved Jewish people, Catholics, Muslims, Mormons. And we have to stay humble because the Bible teaches that knowledge puffeth up. And so we have the truth, all the truth in wisdom, and all the riches of knowledge and wisdom is in Christ. And we have Christ as our Savior. He's in our life. His Spirit is in us. And we have his word, which is infallible, and it's life giving. So we have the truth on our side, and we have the truth in us, and we have the word of truth in our hands. But the we have to be careful to remain humble, because as someone said, except for the grace of God, there go I. Yeah,
that's right. Amen. Amen. Well, there's some people who are just sensing this calling into the evangelism area. You know, I know when I first got called, you know, I thought the same, you know, well, if I'm called into the ministry, then I'm supposed to be a pastor of a church and all this stuff. But, you know, that's not true. And it took me, oh, I would say maybe a year or so to realize that I'm really called as an evangelist, and I love sharing the gospel. I love seeing people receive Christ and all that. But if they're just starting to sense this calling into the evangelism field, if you want to call it that, what tips can you give them who are just starting off on that path and realizing that this is the calling they have?
Well, I would, well, for me, I really needed confirmation from God, from God's word, because it, you know, there's a lot of emotionalism out there where people, you know, they hear a message and some, you know, fiery preacher comes to town. Yeah. And they, in the moment they run to the altar, or they make a decision, emotional decision. But we have to remember that Jesus said, you have to count the cost before you start something.
That's right.
And, so we, and that applies, I think, with everything. And so I started to study the Word of God, study Scriptures, because, you know, having God, you know, speak to me in my room on that Friday evening, and call me into evangelism the year later, I needed to know from Scripture that this was His voice I was hearing and not my own voice or someone else's voice, you know, because there's, you know, there's many, the Bible says in 1 John 4:1 that we need to test the spirits or test the messengers, because there are many false prophets. And we forget that our own heart, our own deceitful heart can be a false prophet.
Oh yeah.
As well.
Absolutely. That's
that
right.
can speak to us. And so what I did was I started studying Scripture, and I was waiting for confirmation from God's word, and His confirmation came in the form of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 13, you know, where God says that He gives some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And then also He told, Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, do the work of an evangelist. So these verses were jumping out at me, confirming that this is what God is doing in your life. This is what, and also God uses your gifts and talents too, because if someone's gifted in mathematics or someone's gifted in construction,
absolutely,
that's not a gift by mistake.
That's
God
right.
makes no mistakes.
Amen. Amen.
So if someone is, if someone has a gift for one area and they think that they're going to be called to a totally opposite area, well, they should be careful with, you know, jumping into that. They need to, I would encourage them to fast, pray, have other people praying for them, be accountable, let other people know what you believe God is doing, and there will be a consensus, you know, among God's people. Like even in the book of Acts chapter 13, when, you know, Paul and I think it was Barnabas, you know, they fasted, prayed, and they were sent out.
Right.
Not that the church necessarily sent them out, it was the Holy Ghost that sent them out, but the church recognized, yes, this is we are in agreement with Paul and Barnabas. This is exactly what God's calling them.
Amen.
And I think that there'll be a consensus for a young person or even someone older that feels that God, you know, wants them to do something with their life, specifically in the area of evangelism, that their local church will start to see what gifting and callings that this person has, and there'll be you know, consensus among God's people, especially the leadership, if they're mature and it's a church that
right.
you know, teaches the Bible faithfully. I think that they can rely on the Word of God, the Spirit of God, the gifts and talents, and the confirmation from wise counsel and from their church leadership, the pastor and Sunday school leaders. You know, because the Bible says there's safety in a multitude of counsels. So I wouldn't encourage anybody to go just, you know, go and make their own decisions without counsel. And I sought the pastor, I sought the counsel of my pastor and other leaders and other mature Christians, and they were confirming that, yes, we believe God has given you a desire to preach, and so you should continue to to serve that. Right.
Well, Jay, the last couple minutes we have here, I want to talk about your book. Tell us about your book. It was not originally intended to be published, right?
No, I didn't. Because I'm not a writer. I'm a preacher. My grammar is not the best. My best subject in school was mathematics. It wasn't English. So I've been preaching for a few years now, and I had some time in Belize where I had a missions trip, and I seen God do tremendous things there, and also just me preaching in different places in the States as well, and I had documented what would become my book, and I just typed it out and put it on my computer and wasn't going to even publish it. And God was chasing after me, and he was saying, how is this book going to give me glory if it stays on your computer? And I had all these types of excuses I was giving God, just like Moses gave God excuses when he was called to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. I was saying, Lord, I don't know how to write a book. I don't know a publisher. I need an editor. I need this. I can't do that. And if you want to have God laugh, just tell God what you can't do.
Amen. Amen.
Because he's the one that knows you better than you do. And he was just knocking down all my excuses. He found me a publisher. He found me an editor. And what really put me over the edge to get it published is I lost my beloved mother to cancer last year. Mm-hmm. In 2018, 2 days after Thanksgiving. And what better way for me to have something in writing that would, that would honor her legacy? Because if it wasn't for her taking me in when she did and giving me, not just food and clothing and a shelter, but love pouring into my life, telling me to pursue what God has made you to pursue and just show me unconditional love, then this, I wouldn't be here where I am. So dedicated the book first and foremost to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, but secondarily to her. Amen. And so the book, getting it published, was a way I can get her name in my book. I can get her legacy in my book, because every copy that goes out, it'll be her memory going forth and giving God thanksgiving. But giving her thanks too for what she's done, and my book is it's not a how-to book. We have plenty of those out there, but it's more it's not a book of this is what you do, don't do. It's more of a book of stories. It equips people and inspires people to look at evangelism in not a traditional way, because most people think evangelism is what God is doing for the person that we're trying to reach with the gospel. But evangelism is also what God is doing inside the person that is sowing the gospel seed.
That's right.
And my book is about stories about different people in different locations that I've got to talk to, but also how God has grown me tremendously through evangelism. Because you don't hear many people preaching that if you want to grow spiritually, go and do the work of an evangelist. You go do evangelism, go share your faith. No, it's usually read your Bible and pray.
Yeah,
and that is important. Mm-hmm. But I would say when you step out in faith and you expect God to show up in your faithfulness,
Amen.
He will in a powerful way. And my book just encourages people. It equips people. I talk to all types of people. And in my stories and in my personal soul-winning encounters, people are going to look through my eyes as I talk to Muslims, atheists, Catholics, Mormons, all different types of people, and how the Holy Spirit used me to handle sharing the gospel faithfully with them. And there's also practical tips at the end of the book, so that if someone he feels like this is what God is calling them to do with their life, not just, day-to-day sharing our faith, but as a calling, there's some action tips to get them started.
Amen. Amen. Is it available on Amazon?
It is. It's available on Amazon. It's available on Barnes & Nobles. And I actually would encourage them to probably get it at Barnes & Nobles first, because It seems like, everybody has gone to Amazon to get it, and there's been no reviews yet for the copy of Barnes & Nobles. And I'm not asking people to give me a good review. I'm just saying, if you read it and God uses it in your life, give it an honest review. Yeah, that's all I ask.
Amen. If someone wanted to get in touch,
and it's not a long book either. It's less than 100 pages, so they could read it in like an hour or two.
Praise the Lord. If someone wanted to get in touch with you to ask a question, get more information, or maybe do an interview like this, how can they get in touch with you?
Well, they can reach me. I have a blog right now. It's JJ, as in, John, the letter J, JJR, that's my initials, JJR, Bible Preaching and Teaching .wordpress.com. And they can also look me up on the Open Air Campaigners website. Just go to OACUSA.org and then go to where it says our mission and then go to our team, and then you'll find Jay Ritchie as one of the team members. They can read up on what God is doing through that ministry, and they can sign up to my evangelism newsletter so they can keep up to date of where God has had me travel to preach and who he has me witnessing to.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I'll put links to all this down in the show notes. I just appreciate the time that you took out of your day today to join us on the program, because this is just great information that I think it tells your story, but like you said, as you're telling your story, you're also communicating the gospel, and that's what's so important. I just love it. I appreciate it.
So, thank you, Pastor. Yeah. This is great.
Folks, evangelism is so important. I mean, it's the lifeblood, if you will, of the body of Christ. The Bible says life is in the blood. Well, without evangelism, there's nobody getting born again. And we need to expand our outreach now in this day and time more than ever before. And that doesn't mean just evangelism, going out and say, hey, get saved, but effective evangelism, meeting someone where they are at, answering their questions, and helping meet their needs where they're at right now. Just like as Jay was talking about those evangelists that came to his house, they used magic tricks and shows and things like that to capture the people's attention. They were ministering to the children, but I mean, I'm sure Jay can attest to this. When he's out on the street, people are just walking by and they'll stop and see what's going on. You're capturing their attention. And in telling the story of the show or whatever you're trying to do, that is communicating the gospel. And that just opens the door. All it takes is just a brief crack in that door of their heart to let Jesus come in and show them what's available to them. And that's what effective evangelism is all about. So I encourage you to go down the links below, get in touch with Jay, get in touch with his organization, find out how you can help, support them, find out how you can grow in the process. Find out how you can learn all about using effective evangelism, even in your everyday life, even if you're not called into the ministry. Just witnessing to the lady at the grocery store, or your next door neighbor. That's all evangelism, but it's all built on the relationship. And I think that's what Jay has been trying to communicate, is establishing a relationship is so important, instead of just hitting somebody over the head with the Bible saying, getting saved, right? So, Jay, again, I just thank you for taking the time out of your schedule to join us today, and I do appreciate it, buddy. That's awesome.
Thank you, Pastor. It's a great opportunity, and to God be the glory.
Amen. Folks, that is all the time we have for today for John J. Ritchie. Now, if you go and look for the book on the internet, it's John J. Ritchie, R-I-C-C-I. But he just goes by Jay, but on this book, it's the whole name. So, for Jay Ritchie, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this. Your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting.
Become a sought-after guest on Faith-Based Podcast. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.